Welcome to the Christians in Sport podcast. My name is Johnny Reed. It's great to be with you once again. And today it is International Women's Day. And we've got a great interview with a lady called Jill Bland. Brian Glynn, who works on our staff and is himself a top-level runner and triathlete, he's going to be interviewing her as two sort of running marathon geeks, kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of what it means to be a Christian who runs. But particularly asking Jill around her experience advocating women in top-level running and what it's been like for her as she's come back from pregnancy to run again, and she's pregnant now. She actually won a marathon whilst 20 weeks pregnant quite recently. So it's a fascinating conversation around identity, around motherhood and running, and what it looks like to be a Christian in that world of top-level amateur running. It's a great listen. I hope you enjoy it. Let's head over to Brian.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us on the Christians in Sport podcast. Today we've got a fantastic guest. Jill is a top amateur marathon runner. And she went straight in at the deep end. I think her first ever road race was Mablethorpe Marathon back in 2011. And she's been running marathons ever since, including winning the Bournemouth Marathon in 2019 and setting a personal best of 2:53.22, which is pretty rapid, at the Florence Marathon in 2016. She's currently running at Huncote Harriers up in Leicestershire, and she works in media, including having worked for a long time at the BBC, and she regularly contributes as a freelancer to fastrunning.com and The Run Testers on YouTube. Jill's married and has a six-year-old son, Monty, and another baby on the way. In fact, she won the Alton Park Marathon back in November whilst 20 weeks pregnant. And Jill often speaks about what it's like to train and compete as a top amateur runner whilst balancing family and work, and is deeply passionate about women's running from grassroots up to the top level. So Jill, thanks so much for coming onto the podcast.
Well, thanks very much for inviting me. It's a delight to be in such good company.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, as I'm sure you'll learn over the course of this podcast that both myself and Jill are very passionate runners. So if you're into running, then you'll probably find this a good listen. And this is the Play Connected podcast, after all. So the first question that we always start with is, what does it mean for you, Jill, to have your sport and your faith connected?
Yeah, I think the first thing with that is just very grateful for the fact that I don't have to get it right first time and every time. And that, like, that obviously the kind of key thing about the Christian faith is that, like, God forgives us when we mess up if we trust in him. So I don't get it right every time. If I got it right perfectly, it would be something like the freedom to enjoy everything that running offers me without the kind of wrong emphasis or the sort of negative connotations of over competitiveness and things like that. So it would mean, you know, the desire to do it to the best of my ability, because that comes from the fact that I believe that God has created me with that born to want to run, basically. And so the kind of the freedom that that gives to go out and try and do my best, but knowing that actually, you know, it's not the be all and end all in the best way possible, that I am valuable in exactly the same way, regardless of whether I score a PB or not, or whether I win a race or anything. When you're out running, sometimes it is a slog. But there are those moments when you look around you and you suddenly notice it's spring, or something just catches your eye and you think, wow, or you just get that feeling of flow. And to kind of know why it is so enjoyable, because it's something that God has given me, kind of adds extra meaning to it, I think.
Yeah, thanks. That's really helpful picture of kind of how your sport and your faith fit together. Let's just rewind kind of to the beginning of your running journey to start off with. And most people, certainly for me as a youngster, I got into running on the track, kind of shorter distances, 800, 1500. But you went straight in with the marathon. So talk us through how that happened, why it was that you started with the marathon, and tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I mean, this may play into the fact that I'm so passionate now about, like, women's running and grassroots to kind of top amateur. But basically, I went to girls' school growing up, and we didn't do that much sport. There wasn't that much emphasis on it. I wasn't naturally adept at the sports we did. I don't think it was a bad school or anything like that, but it's just kind of how it panned out at the time. So it wasn't until, you know, I'd done my degree, I'd started living and working in London, and I went to catch a train, and I ran down the platform and I realized I was really out of breath. And I thought, gosh, but I'm, you know, I've barely started my working life and I'm already in this state. I don't have enough money to join the gym. I'm just going to go out and run around the block, and kind of started off doing that. And then over time, I ended up in a job that had shift work. And so I was off at times when other people were busy. So we just used to go out and Forrest Gump it, basically, along the canal near London, in London, and things like that, and kind of kept getting further and further with no real structure. And then my now husband and I decided that we wanted to enter the London Marathon because we lived in London, and that's a thing that you do on your bucket list. But he's very good at kind of research, and he found out that Mablethorpe Marathon was a really flat, fast and cheap marathon to enter. And we thought, well, we can't be faffed with the ballot, so we'll try that and see if we can get a good for age place, which, looking back, massively over-optimistic of ourselves, but somehow I managed to pull it off. And that's kind of where that came from. So it was just that thing of, like, marathon running is a lot about stubbornness, to be honest. And, you know, I didn't have the speed because I hadn't developed speed when I was younger. And it was something I could just go out and do with minimal kit. And so that's kind of how I got into it. And it never stopped.
Yeah, so you say it never stopped. So why don't you just take us through what it's been like since running that first marathon in Mablethorpe up to today, maybe some of the real highlights of your journey, a couple of things maybe you've learned, and what have been the challenges so far?
Yeah, so I did a couple of other marathons after that. So I did Bournemouth Marathon and then London again. And I ended up entering a kind of, more than a competition, but a thing. So they wanted a group of athletes for Athletics Weekly, sponsored by ASICS, to run Manchester Marathon with a particular target, and they wanted to follow them through and they would coach you. And so I signed up for that and I got accepted. So that was my first sort of target on sub-3, and my first kind of experience of working with a coach who took one look at what I'd been doing and said, well, yeah, you basically battered your way to your marathon times at the moment. Let's put some finesse in there. And again, I think that probably fed into the fact that I've just qualified as a coach now, and I love that whole jigsaw of trying to work it out. So I went and did Manchester Marathon. I ran it in 3 hours and 1 second. However, it turns out, I mean, like, I believe God has a plan in everything, and this is one of his more entertaining ones, I think, in that I spent a year thinking all I needed to do was shave 1 second off that time. Actually, it transpired the course was short, and it was probably about 1:15. But because I had that belief that it was only 1 second, I went back and ran under the time the next year. And I got involved later on in some of the kind of running crews, or a running crew in London called Advent Running. It had its challenges in that, obviously, like, different people were approaching running from a different point of view to me. So they would put, like, it on a different level of pedestal, or, you know, might put different financial or time priorities on it to what I would be doing. But it was amazing. They, you know, I ended up doing track sessions, and lots of the people there would travel abroad to marathons. So that's how I ended up going out to, like, Lake Garda to do a marathon there. And that kind of really built things up. And then I joined Harrow Athletics Club. And again, that kind of, that running crew was like a gateway into an athletics club, because they can be quite overwhelming. And was lucky enough to be part of Euston Church, which has strong links with Christians in Sport. And so, you know, it was quite supportive as well. And I know that, like, one of the challenges is particularly, you know, like, Sunday races, and how does that fit with church, and you know, priorities and things like that. I was listening to one of the other podcasts, and the guy was saying, you know, if you're a musician, you play in church, what do you do if you're a sports person? And that really rung true. Like, it's hard to know how that fits, but Euston did a really good job of kind of engaging with that, and I think that really helped. Managed to set my PB, as you say, in Florence, and then went through fertility treatment to have Monty, which obviously has an impact on your running. So my time was kind of dipped then, but there were different priorities in my life. And then since then, it's kind of been back from pregnancy the first time round and building up again. I've had only ever two injuries in my entire running career, which I'm very grateful for, despite them being incredibly frustrating. And now I'm kind of at that stage again of running through pregnancy, which is its own interesting situation to navigate.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I think we'll dig into that in just a bit. And before we do, why don't you, you spoke a lot about athletics club, about church, a bit about family life. How do you fit that all in, and how do you balance those different priorities?
Quite frequently badly, but I would say, and I always make an effort on like my Instagram bio and things like that to say I'm Christian first, and then mother, and then runner. Like those are my orders. You know, I'm not always the greatest at working that out in practice, but in reality, what happens is normally I try and get my runs done in ways that don't impact as little as possible on family and church life. So that often involves getting up early in the morning or whatever, but I'm very lucky to have a supportive husband who, you know, will be there if Monty wakes up and needs something, he's there kind of thing. And I'm aware that that's not available to most people. But yeah, so normally I'll be getting up, at, you know, if it's peak marathon training, I might be getting up at 6 a.m. to get out and get a session done. And then back in time, Steve will have started doing breakfast with Monty, and then I'll take him into school, which is only just up the road, and then come home and work. Or I might, if I've got a gap in the middle of the day, I might try and get up and work earlier and then do a run in the middle of the day. I've got some great friends from the running club who live really nearby, and we would try and train together if possible, which is really nice. I started doing double days in my last marathon block, which adds its own challenge. So that might be like in the evening on the treadmill or something like that, just to try and fit that all in. And then, yeah, so church-wise, you know, we would prioritize Sunday at church where possible. We're really lucky in that our church service is at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, which actually fits nicely for running races. That hasn't been the case in the past. And you know what, like growing up, my parents brought me up with a real strong ethos of like Sunday services come first. And not from like a kind of legalistic point of view, but I think that was really helpful because it helped me frame things the right way. So there have been times when we've had to say, I'm good at pulling me up on this because I'll get overexcited about races and want to do them all. And he'll say, well, that means you're missing like 3 Sundays in a row. And it's like, oh yeah, that's not a great idea. That one's not essential, is it? Let's ditch that one. But yeah, so do church on Sundays. I help with the kids group, so I might be leading creche or you know, the young kids group, and then we be leading a midweek Bible study group as well, which is a real mix of people. And again, it's just a real great bit in the middle of the week to kind of reset your mind, because when you're in the depths of marathon training, particularly, you know, everything is about, have I got enough sleep? Am I eating the right things? Like, what shoes am I going to wear for my next session? Did I hit those splits? You know, it's all consuming. And I love that. But having a Wednesday night where you're looking at the Bible with some people who have a whole bunch of other stuff going on in their lives and have different perspectives is really great. And, you know, even if that wasn't my thing, you know, if I wasn't a Christian and I wasn't doing that, I think I'd recommend to someone who is running marathons to find something else that they have to kind of reset them. But obviously, I would say that studying the Bible is the best thing to do that, because it just affects your whole worldview. Yeah, so, and then, you know, weekends would be a long run. So that, again, might be getting up early and trying to kind of fit that in, getting 20 miles kind of first thing on a Saturday morning, and then saying, right, I'm on duty for the rest of the day. You know, you've taken the hit early morning, whatever. When in reality, I'm probably quite grumpy because I'm tired and hungry. And so that's what I mean about I don't always do it well. So I think it doesn't affect the rest of life, but it probably does more than I realize.
Yeah, that's it's a really kind of good picture of what it looks like, I guess, to be kind of a top amateur marathon runner and to be involved in all those things. And I think What's really interesting, and you kind of mentioned it earlier, is that that's probably quite different to how lots of people approach marathon training. For lots of people, it would be be like that one goal, those things that you're talking about, you know, what shoes am I wearing for next session, like have I got enough space to dry all my washing to get the next load in, like all those runner problems. I think for amateur runners that are, I guess, at that level, the training's so consistent and so daily that it becomes a real all-consuming thing. But then for you, you've articulated family, for church, how you prioritize Sundays, those kinds of things. Do you find that difference leads to conversation in your clubs, or do people see that in you, do you think? Or is that still quite a hard thing in terms of speaking of your faith at your club or with your friends when you're on a run?
I think in general, running is a great place just to speak openly about things. So I think, that environment really lends itself. I have to say, I think actually injury is the time when different mindset has come up in conversation most. This is something about running and being a very individual sport as well. Like, you know, those people that I run with, they'll see me out on a long run and they might not then see those challenges at home. And it's up to me to kind of find ways to be open with my life, not in a like whinging, but just kind of, you know, being open enough that those conversations do come up. And that is hard. I think I've benefited from being in a really friendly club, in that those friendships have formed and those conversations have started to gradually happen. And I would like to think that they notice a difference. But then equally, sometimes I think people just kind of see me not showing up on Sunday to some of the league races. And maybe I need to be clear about why that is, how I manage my time. I mean, that I think, you know, I've got a reputation as someone who's very much a box ticker when it comes to my training schedule. And actually, that's something that I'm conscious of is maybe not always the best representation, because if I'm seen as someone who that is all I care about is hitting those targets, then I haven't adequately explained my real mindset and what really drives me. But I would say that is something that being part of church and being part of a small group and things like that keeps me thinking about and keeps me at least trying to go again and get better at. I'm not naturally great at it, but I'm conscious that it's there for the taking, and it's a great opportunity.
How about if we kind of flip it around the other way? Do you think in church it's difficult to help people understand how important running is to you? Because obviously you're not a pro, and you're not, you know, that's easier for people to understand sometimes, for a professional football player or a professional tennis player or something. They might understand the commitments that come with earning your money that way. At the top level amateur, you're training almost like someone who's at that level, and there's lots of demands on your energy, and there's lots of additional demands because you have work to go to, or whatever else it is. How do you find speaking about that within church? Do people ask you about running all the time? Do they know you as the runner, or does that just get left to the side when you're in church?
Yeah, I do get known as the runner. It's true. I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think it is quite hard to explain sometimes. In the same way that anyone who's got a real passion about a particular, I mean, hobby, although obviously I feel like it's more important than a hobby, but yeah. It's always hard to explain those passions to people who that isn't their bag, because God has made their brain differently and they love something different. So you've got to come at it from that kind of angle. But equally, you know, I think it's really nice sometimes to be able to say to people, look, like, I love being out in nature because I see what God has created. And that kind of helps them get a handle on it sometimes. I'm lucky enough in my church that I have at least one other keying runner. And so she's been really helpful at kind of helping keep me accountable and vice versa. Like when we've been injured or when we've had bad races or whatever, we'll try and pray together before a race. There's a couple of other Christian runners we know in our Leicester Running League who we try and meet up with and race sometimes. But yeah, I think, again, it's that being open, isn't it? I think my small group have kind of got used to it and kind of started to understand, like when I've been injured, how frustrating that is and how that kind of affects my sort of day-to-day well-being, as it were, and have sort of started to say like, oh, this must be really hard for you, like how are you doing and things like that, in the same way that, you know, if they can't get out and do what they want to do, it has impacts on them. But equally, you know, like pointing me to good passages in the Bible or reminding me that God is faithful, he's the same God whether I'm injured or winning a PB, like getting a PB or whatever. So I think, again, it's that thing of having people with different perspectives on it, but a Christian mindset is really helpful. But there are challenges, yes.
Let's move on a bit to talking about kind of, I guess, the culture of running, which is really exciting at the moment, I think. And certainly, I guess, when I was at university, running was probably more less cool than it is now. I feel like more people are getting involved in park run, people are interested in super shoes, sub-2-hour marathon, wearable tech, all this stuff. Which was just completely not on the radar when I was at university at all. Like Strava wasn't even a thing when I was a fresher. It was a thing maybe in my first or second year. How exciting is it kind of to be, I guess, to have a front row seat to that, that night of the 10K PBs, that kind of stuff going on as it's happening in the amateur scene and particularly on the women's side as well, kind of seeing more understanding slowly starting to build up of what it's like to be a mum and be a marathon runner, and to do that at the really top level, like we saw McKenna Myler, I think coming top 10 I think in the USA Olympic trials, like,
yeah, or, I can't remember what she came in the
top 15 yeah. But 10 months postpartum, are people talking to you about that, how exciting is that kind of for you, knowing that that's very much not far removed from your experience?
I'd love to be fast enough to run the Olympic trials in America, but sadly not. That used to be a target of mine, but they've since made it faster, so not an option now. I mean, it is a really exciting time to be part of distance running, even, you know, whether it's on the periphery or just or deeply involved. I think, you know, the things like parkrun and just sort of the sort of more slightly equal footing that women are having with kind of childcare and things like that now has freed up people to be able to go out and train more, or kind of also just an understanding of the mental health benefits and the physical benefits of regular exercise is starting to kind of gradually trickle down, and now people are starting to kind of make those performances. And I think that's really exciting. Again, it's something which has its challenges, because whilst running that kind of pace 10 months postpartum and, you know, offering $5,000 to the top, however many women it was in the trials, is a fantastic idea. We also need to remember that, pushing people to return too quickly has negative side effects, and also sometimes can just put a wrong emphasis on what makes you a worthwhile person. So you know, it's totally fine if you just want to stay at home with your child and you don't want to go out and be a marathoner as well, but like people like me wired differently, and we need to have that at the same time. But yeah, so things like 9 of 10,000 meter PBs, and the fact that they're really trying to get more women entering. So I think actually entries for that opened today on the day of recording, and will gradually. So it's 35 minutes and under for women at the moment, and that will gradually open up. And sort of keeping those times, you know, hard enough that there's still an excitement about hitting them, but open enough that people will keep entering and not be overwhelmed by them is really tricky. Parity of entry is a really difficult one to navigate when you look at things like the London Marathon. you know, qualification times, so different for women and men. That's really, so there's lots of conversations that people are having about like what's the right thing to do in those situations, you know, like all of the different deferral policies that are coming up for the marathon majors. You've got like London, Berlin, Chicago, you don't have to pay, and I think you get about 2 years to defer. Boston, you have to pay again, and various other ones. Tokyo doesn't have one yet, and kind of how do we navigate that? But then, you know, the joy that seeing that we don't just have to settle, we can still train, and you know, we can try our best, and we can enjoy what that gives to us. But yeah, the conversation is trying to get that in its right place, and there's a lot of that going on, like online, on Instagram at the moment. You know, you've got on the one side people saying like women should be running equal distances, you know, we should let people run as soon as they want, and on the other side, women saying, you know, I'm exhausted, I've got a new child, like why is someone telling me I should be running a marathon, kind of thing. So I think that's a really tricky one to navigate. But all that in the context of, yeah, a really exciting time, particularly in women's running. You know, we've got, what was it like, about six women got the Olympic marathon qualifying time.
Yeah.
Over here in the UK, Sonia Samuels, just 5 seconds off her pre-childbearing PB. So she ran a 2:28.09 recently. She's 40, she's got a kid, you know, that's just amazing. And that stuff is really inspiring. So yeah, it's a interesting time to be part of that debate. And as you say, along with all the tech, like the super shoes absolutely help. They help you recover quickly. There's no argument about that, yeah, regardless of all the other stuff. You know, and all the technology that comes with it and the data analysis you can do, it comes again with both sides. You know, it can put unnecessary pressure on people, but it can also be incredibly valuable just for kind of figuring out your training, for making sure you don't overtrain and all those sorts of things. So it's a really exciting time to be part of it, because there's so much to debate and so many things that are changing, and we're not going to get it right. And I think that's kind of part of the fun, is figuring it out.
Yeah, so you say, yeah, that's part of the fun, figuring out. So in your current situation, you're expecting a baby, and you've been through having a baby and coming back to running once before. So, yeah, I guess what did you learn last time out? Is that, have you made a plan again to do the same thing, or does it not, you know, like you said before,
you don't want to put pressure on coming back, and there are loads of good reasons not to. But what are your thoughts kind of going into that, and how are you thinking about it?
So the thing I learned last time is how much it exposes where I find my identity. Pregnancy is a humbling thing, and hanging on to running for dear life was kind of my moment of normality. And looking back, there are some runs from last time I was pregnant that I probably shouldn't have done, if I'm honest. But I was so desperate to kind of hang on to that sense of normality. And this time around, I kind of went into it thinking, I'm going to get better. I'm going to be better at that. I'm not sure I have been. I've been slightly more careful, but then age does that to you as well. Like, you can't hammer it quite as much. But yeah, it still reminds, it's a good reminder of the fact that I am not a runner. I am someone that God created and God loves. And that is not where my, like, running is not my identity. So whilst I can try and enjoy it, and I'm grateful that I can still run, and I am still running, it's not the be all and end all. So yeah, that's the thing that I learned last time. Time will tell whether I've put that into practice this time. I did go into it with a rough plan of saying I would get to kind of my third trimester, see how I felt, and then kind of no pressure, etc. I wanted to try and run a marathon at 20 weeks if everything was going okay and if I was fit and healthy. Partly because, as I've already explained, I love all that data and kind of comparison stuff. I did it at exactly the same point in my last pregnancy. So I was just kind of intrigued, to be honest. And also, having been injured earlier in the year, I was just desperate to run a marathon because I love them. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to do it after this. So I found Alton Park, because it's laps, 10 laps. So the idea was it's a safe space. I can step off at any point. And that, you know, that went well. But that was all with, you know, clearing it with, you know, family and husband and stuff as well. Because the thing that about running pregnant is it's not just you anymore. So running is by nature quite a selfish sport. You know, you go out, you churn out the miles, you come back, and everyone else has to cope with the fact that, you know, you've had a sugar crash or whatever. But when you're running pregnant, you're not only thinking about the life of the child inside you, but also the worry of the people that are watching on and things like that. So there's that to bear in mind. Coming back, last time I said no running for 6 weeks, and then I'll get a physio check. And I think that will be the same this time around. And we'll see where we go from there. I might have booked a race in already in October, but I am holding lightly to that, and we will see what happens. I think just having people around you who kind of know you well enough to understand why you feel the need to keep going, but also to be gentle and supportive enough to remind you that it's okay if you don't, and maybe to just gently kind of find a way to help you take the pressure off yourself sometimes is really helpful. And I know that's something that, you know, my husband has to navigate quite a lot, is if he says, you're really tired today, you probably shouldn't go for a run, I will either go, yeah, you're right, and go back to bed, or I'll be like, don't be ridiculous, I'm going to run an extra mile now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tricky, that one.
So I guess having found running and taken it to the level that you've taken to, do you think that that's shaped your faith, having been a Christian when you started, do you think that that's shed light on some things that maybe you would never have thought about without running?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's had positives and negatives. So it's highlighted areas where, you know, good things can become used wrongly. So, you know, running is a good thing. I can praise God through my running. But when I get in the zone in the middle of training, it is very easy for it to go off and become something that is all consuming. And I will prioritize my early morning run before I read my Bible. Those sorts of situations. So I think it is, but that for me, I find that easier to look at and go, oh, that's not a great place to be, than maybe in other areas of life, exactly the same things happen. You know, like it might be that, you know, family life becomes, you know, all consuming, and we're prioritizing that and too much over like caring for someone in our church or whatever. But I find it's much easier to see in that kind of running situation, and it brings out characteristics in me so that I can kind of pick up on them a little bit. And also, like, for other people looking from the outside, it's much easier to pick up when it's a specific kind of subject, as it were. But I also think it's given me that benefit of really kind of experiencing how God is consistent through all things. Actually, when I got injured, I thought I would be a lot more devastated by it than I was. And actually having to kind of voice to people, like, I knew that I needed to be saying, I've got to trust God in this, because I knew that's what I needed other people to hear me saying if I was going to be consistent with my faith, even if I didn't feel it. But actually by doing that, it really helped. So it's given me that, you know, it's given me those chances to, like we've talked about, you know, experience those moments of joy that you just get when everything's going right and you're having a great run, to experience that in a way that I don't think I would have, you know, other areas of working life or whatever. And, you know, like having a baby, like, that is amazing. Obviously, like, you see God's creation, but there's something about, like, that pure relation when you cross a finish line or something, and it's all gone well. And if you've got, you know, particularly if you've got Christian runners around you who at that moment can be like, yes, praise God, as you hit that moment of elation, like, that is just a really lovely extra way to experience God's goodness that I don't think I would have got in other realms of life.
Well, Jill Blant, it's been absolutely lovely just to talk to you, to hear to hear your reflections, and from a vast amount of experience of running, of motherhood, of all those different things. And I'm sure it'd be really helpful for people listening in. So thanks so much for coming on the Christians in Sport podcast.
You're welcome. And if anyone wants to ask me any questions and get in touch, I'm more than happy to chat to people.
Well, thanks for listening to the Christians in Sport podcast. I had a great time chatting to Jill, and I hope you enjoyed it too. If you did, then please leave us a rating on the podcast platform that you're listening on. It really helps the podcast to reach more people. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can contact us via social media, or you can email podcast@christiansinsport.org.uk and let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your reflections. But that's it from us today. We'll see you on another episode of the Christians in Sport podcast. Goodbye.